It is time for some NHL hockey talk. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood. Joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars, and it is time for the Debate Hockey Podcast. Blake, it's, we're 2 days late this week due to some scheduling conflicts, and I've been on the struggle bus this week. My wife has been down for the count for over a week, and now I am not feeling the best, but hey, we're going to pound through it tonight and get through it. Lots to talk about.
Yep. Yeah, I had a hockey game last night, so I totally forgot about it, man. It's been so long since we've had a weekday game at home. I was just totally blank, so that's my bad. But we're here. We're good to go.
What were your quick thoughts on the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a good game. Halftime show was kind of he sang a lot of his new songs, which made sense why I didn't really know what any of them were. But the back half of it was good because I knew all the songs. It was a good game, entertaining, overtime. Can't ask for much more than that. I'm glad that they changed the overtime rule for the playoffs. That's just common sense. The Chiefs are a dynasty. They are. I didn't think we'd have a dynasty this quick after the Patriots, but here we are.
Oh, what else? Winter Classic that gets announced for Chicago versus St. Louis, probably.
Chicago for the seventh time in my lifetime. I'm exaggerating, but not really.
It's a joke. It's
exaggerating, but not really exaggerating. It seems like they just rotate. They just rotate Chicago, Boston, Detroit, Toronto, St. Louis, the Rangers, and it's just a rinse recycle.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, like, I know they need to worry about ratings, and after this year,
why not try and spice up a rivalry and do a Canucks versus Kraken in Seattle at Lumen Field or something, like something different?
Because
I'm not even saying that because I'm a fan. I don't really care.
I'm gonna tell you something. There is nothing about a Winter Classic that's gonna spice up a rivalry. Because
it's just added storyline. I'm just saying.
No, I know what you're trying to get at. Just
give me something different than Chicago and Detroit. Or
how about this? How about we just get rid of it?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of outdoor games, so you know where I stand on that.
I'm not either. Speaking of things that I'm not a fan of, the Waste Management Golf Classic. It used to be one of my favorite tournaments. It's out of control. People are idiots. People are idiots.
They just need up security and not let them run on the course. It's
just three drink minimum. We've proven as adults that we can't be trusted to handle.
No, the guy's doing snow angels in the bunker. Hey, man, it's a cool atmosphere. I actually want to go there one day. That's a cool atmosphere.
It was cool, but now it's been taken over. Now it's been pushed over the limit, right? It used to be fun. Now it's not fun anymore. Now it's, players are just going to quit going.
Yeah.
They're going to quit going.
Players don't want to get beer thrown at them and stuff. Yeah, I get it.
The players are okay with the fun like it was 5 years ago, but now it's not fun anymore. Now it's complete idiocy.
Yeah.
Speaking of complete stupidity, we are, we got a jam-packed show, but to start it off, we're going to talk about the unraveling Leafs, the controversy, the gong show that this week was, and we'll go around the league, talk about deadline targets, relocation, Sergachev injury, and D-man scoring. Hopefully, it's the hottest topic going in hockey right now. I always don't like to talk about the hottest topic going, but how do you not? How do you not, especially in a show called The Debate? And I don't know if we're going to debate on this because I have not gotten your take. So this is completely, we don't know each other's take on this. Let's talk about the slap shot, empty netter, the response, the suspension, and all the idiot stuff that has come of this. I don't need to explain what happened. If you're watching or listening to this show, you know enough of what happened. So I want to get your take on this, and then I'll give you mine, and then we can go back and forth with questions.
I think the moment got him for sure. Hockey night in Canada.
We'll start at the beginning. What did you think of the empty netter?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think the emotions got to Ridly Gregg. Saturday night against the Leafs in Toronto. It's a big time rivalry. Ottawa has had a lot of success against Toronto for some odd reason this year. And
did you like the move or hate the move?
It's pretty cocky. I'll give him that. It's a young kid. I think he would have got hit through the glass if that was 10, 15 years ago.
He didn't get hit through the glass.
No, he didn't. I would love to see him do that when Scott Stevens is on the ice. I bet you he wouldn't do that. Or Chris Pronger on the other side. They wouldn't do that. You know what it told me? It told me that Ridly Gregg, that's what Ridly Gregg thought about the Leafs, that they're not tough and they're whatever.
Well, I think it was
nice to see a response. It was nice to see a response from a pretty soft team. It's unfortunate that it cost them their best defenseman five games because they finally did something for a reaction. Did Riley intend to cross-check him in the back of the neck? Probably. Sending a message that you don't do that to us in our home bar. It's nice to see a reaction. So five games is fair. I think so. But it was nice to see somewhat of a pushback from a Leafs team that had to be challenged by their head coach to do something. Like, that's my take.
Here's my take. Is it the most ballsy thing I've seen this year? Yeah. Do I like showboating? No, I'm as old school as you can get. I don't. In this case, though, I'm not saying what he did was right. I don't think what he did was right. But here's my justification on why I think he did it. I think he's like, you know what? I got to come play in Ottawa where it's been a shit show all year. The Leafs tell us how great they are. The hockey world tells us every day how great they are. We got Sportsnet slamming down our throat every day. The Leafs. I look around my building in Ottawa, and there's more Leafs fans than Sens fans. Here's a giant middle finger to all of you.
That's cocky for sure.
Right? Yep. Now, Ridly Gregg will be a hero in Ottawa till the day he dies. He will be a hero.
Yeah.
He showed up the Leafs. And you know what? Here's the way I look at the response. Would I maybe have done the same thing? Probably in the emotion, with the emotions, right? He'd have been smarter if he instantly would have dropped his gloves and went over there.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't have even got suspended. There wasn't even a penalty.
Now, when you look at the suspense in five games, I think it's a joke. Because I want to know. Here's one thing that nobody talked about all week that's really puzzling to me. This action happened after a whistle. The play was not going on. When Rasmus Anderson dirty hit line A with 3 seconds to go in the game, there was 3 seconds to go.
Hold on. No, that was a direct leaving your feet right to the.
Did you hear what I just said? When Anderson dirty hit line A, the game was still playing though.
Right.
This is after a whistle.
Where are you going with this then?
All I'm saying is I want to know why this is any different than Dale Hunter hitting Pierre Turgeon where he got 21 games. I want to know. And that was in the playoffs. I want to know why this is any different.
It's the exact same thing. That's exactly what came to mind for me.
Exact same. Okay. Of course, I was like, oh,
shit. It's the same thing.
I gave it the benefit of the doubt. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong. So I YouTubed it. I watched it. I'm like, holy shit, this is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
This is literally the same thing. He went, hit him in the same part of the boards even. I'm like, oh my God, this is like an instant replay. He had 21 games in the playoffs. Morgan Rielly gets 5. It's a joke. Yeah. You want to know what really, really torques my ass on this thing? Is that Sportsnet all year, and Elliot Friedman, who I'm a biggest fan of Elliot Friedman. I have the most respect for that guy in the world, and I'm not going to lose it over this one thing, but I got a question. They all come and defend and say this was not a big deal the next day on Sports Talk. Everybody at Sportsnet said this was just minimize. You want to know why they minimized it? Do the Leafs pay their paychecks?
I guess. I don't know, man.
It's a bad look. Jennifer Botterhill freaking crucified those guys on the show about a month and a half ago for dirty play.
Yeah, now she like was the now she was the exact opposite though.
Now she was the exact opposite. Got blasted on Twitter for it, and went as far as to block everybody that blasted her. It's a joke. It's a joke. Yeah. This came from the top. I guarantee those Sportsnet people were told you have to have this opinion. This is the Leafs. These guys pay our way. They pay our way. Man. You have to have this opinion. It's crazy to me. I'm an old school as you get, and if I was Morgan Rielly, I probably would have done the same damn thing because I think he had to, right? He was in a bad spot. He had
if the Leafs didn't do anything, they would be labeled as the softest team of all time.
Agree. Well, they still are, but I agree. I agree. But you're right. He was in a horrible position. I kind of feel bad for the poor dude, but I really think that this should have been, I mean, if you want to set an example for this league not condoning violence, this is it, right? Drop ball. Sorry. Drop the ball.
Yeah.
You know what? Now it's set a precedence. Now everybody that does this. So the other night, like, I think it was the same day. Was it the same day that the guy did the gritty dance in front of the Canucks bench?
No, that wasn't in front of the Canucks bench. It was the other side of the rink.
Other side of the rink. Okay, still. But he did the dance. Why didn't the Canucks go over there and belt a living shit out of him?
Because the game's over. You get 10 game suspension for leaving the bench. Game's over.
Same. I know, but listen to me. And I understand. It's a little different situation. But
dude, Canucks are in first place. Do you think they really care about an overtime loss to Detroit on a Saturday?
Like, no. Listen to me. I'm using it as an example of someone showing up another team.
Okay, now next. But
just listen, let me finish my sentence. They couldn't do it because they were all on the bench. I get it. And I'm not calling out the Canucks at all. All I'm saying is they're setting a precedence in this league. The next time somebody does a little gritty dance out there and someone belts them one, you can't give them over five games.
Yeah, I guess. And who knows? Maybe next time Detroit is in Vancouver, something happens. I don't know how they feel about that. Personally, I don't think they care. You have the right to celebrate an overtime goal. Who cares?
You're taking it the wrong way. I'm not calling out the Canucks for this because they didn't have a choice in the matter. They weren't on the ice. All I'm saying is the next time somebody celebrates, I'm telling you what, remember when Ovechkin did the hot stick?
Yeah.
I'd have broke his wrist. And if you do it now, you only get five games.
Yeah.
The league set a precedence. And no one talked the whole week about it being after the whistle. And then Keith goes on and says, he could have just said no comment, right? What he said, every other coach in the league's fine.
How?
He said it. He goes, it was the right thing to do.
How? He didn't say anything bad to get fined.
He said it was the right thing to do.
He said he liked their response.
Yep.
What's wrong with saying that?
What? Okay, so then look.
I like the response too. Don't like their response?
No, I don't. I would have dropped my gloves and went over there and fought him. I would have hit him like a man. I wouldn't have ran him. I'd have hit him like a man. I dropped my gloves. I would have done it. There would have been a damn response. That's for sure. And Morgan Rielly is fully capable of beating the living piss out of Ridley Gregg because I think he would have.
Yeah.
And then he wouldn't have got suspended at all. Then he could have been a real hero. I don't know. It happens quick though. But
hey, let's talk about something that not many people are talking about right now. So Morgan Riley's going to appeal the suspension. Yeah. So that's
going to go now.
That's funny. We're just going to delay that inevitable, I guess. But so the Leafs are barely like in a playoff spot. Now they're going to be without their best D-man for five games.
They'll be fine because you know what? Sometimes things like this sneakily change a team and pull them together. This might be good for the Leafs. It might be good for the Leafs.
Yeah.
I mean, I may be thinking a little bit out of the box there, but I think it might be good for the Leafs.
We'll see.
Some other crazy things that happened this week. What did you think of Winnipeg's hit? Brandon Dillon hit Pittsburgh Penguins forward.
Military. Yeah, it was dirty. It was dirty.
That was really dirty.
Dirty. I don't care. Everyone's like, oh, well, Dillon's 6'4" and Octari's 5'9". He's bent over him.
No. And I'm a condoner of that. But he did go elbow to the head on that one.
Oh, it was so clear as day. I'm honestly surprised you only got four games. Like, I thought that was an in-person hearing. Three. Yeah. So what is the difference between that and Brendan Gallagher, where you got five games, who was never suspended?
That one was even more targeted, though. One was even more targeted.
Sure, but it was both right to the head.
I agree.
And they both went out of their way to contact the head.
Gallagher extended on it, right into him, where Dillon just blew him up.
Dillon didn't have to hit him, though.
He didn't have to do that. No.
So, I don't know, man. I'm so puzzled, man. I don't know what goalie interference is. Zadorov's like, I don't even think that was a bad hit.
Oh my god. He went
Watch the one angle. They literally collided.
Is this a collision? Behind the restroom.
No. The one angle from the side, they just collided helmets.
Blake, I've got a picture right on my screen right here, and I'm sorry.
Okay, when you go frame by frame and freeze it, like, did he catch some of the head? No, but the first contact was head-to-head contact. And then his
first point of contact was elbow to the head. I got it right in front of me.
Raymond should get a 2-minute penalty for acting like he got shot. That was the biggest exaggeration I've ever seen.
Blake,
the guy went like this.
No, dude, when Rasmus Anderson hit Laine,
not even the same.
Listen to what I'm saying.
The same.
As a Canucks or as a Flames fan, I fessed up and said, "Yeah, he's got it coming, man. It was dirty. Come on."
Okay, but like I didn't think that was as egregious as the wins we just talked about.
It wasn't, and it only got two games.
I don't know, man.
It wasn't. What did you think of Grizzlick's spearing? I watched this over and over, and I don't think
I didn't see it.
I mean, I don't think he meant to. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he meant to do it, but it's interesting. But I can't believe how much the hockey world blew up on this Riley thing.
Okay, I just got a comment here. So, do you remember when Trent Frederick had Jacob Trouba's stick tied up and he like went to go get it and he swung his stick and hit him in the head and got a fine? People were like, oh my God, if Trouba only got a fine, then Riley, you won't get suspended. I was like, it's not even the same thing. Just stop.
It was during playing.
Leafs fans are just delusional.
Well, and then Ryan Reeves, like, come on, dude, like, you're better than that, right? You're better than that.
What he said wasn't wrong, though. What he said wasn't wrong.
No, but he was talking like it was 1980.
Okay, but all he's saying is the game is soft.
It is, but it's
incredibly soft.
It's so funny. You know what's so funny about this, though? The team that keeps telling us that the league is so soft is the Maple Leafs, who are the epitome of soft.
No, but the whole league is soft, man.
I would not say the league is soft. I think
it's soft skill
in the league has given way to skill. And what's funny about this is everybody, like, and yourself, say, I want more skill. What was sadly is the more skill you get, the less physicality you get. So which one do you like? I like a happy middle. I think
yes.
You know, I mean, I don't want to go back to the 1990s where we're clutching and grabbing and beating the shit out of each other every play. Do you?
I mean, that was literally 15, 20 years ago. And then after the lockout, that all got changed. They started calling that stuff.
Yeah. You don't want to go back to that. Do you? I don't.
But aren't we just talking about playoff hockey? Isn't that what happens?
Well, and that's the fault of the league.
It's the tale of two rule books.
Yep, it's true. We've complained about
all the clutching and grabbing and slashing. That they all let that shit go in the playoffs.
Okay, it comes back, not to the extent it used to be, but yes,
not to the extent, not to the extent, but that pre-lockout rulebook comes back in the playoffs.
I agree, and I don't think it's right. And we've talked about it many times on the show. I think we are totally in agreement on that, don't you think?
Yeah,
yeah. All right, let's go around the league. Lots to talk about. All right, March 8th is NHL trade deadline. It's about a month away, a little less than a month away. Some big targets out there, not probably the glitz and the glamour that we've seen in years past, but let's talk about a few, and then I want to ask you a couple questions about some marginal teams, and I want you to tell me if you think they're buyers or sellers. First, let's talk, biggest trade targets out there, probably Chris Tanev, Jake Guentzel, Noah Hanifin, Vetrano from Anaheim. Tarasenko's name's on there. I'm not sure why anybody wanted to go up to that, but Trevor Zegras is on there. Jacob Chychrun's on there. Marc-Andre Fleury is on there, which one is interesting. And then I keep seeing Kaapo Kakko's name floating around. But a lot of the talk this week centered around Jacob Markstrom. Yeah, and I wanted to get your take on that and get what you thought on that. And then I'll give my two cents, of course, because that's what we do on this show. Number one, do you think that Calgary would ever consider trading Jacob Markstrom? And part two of that, if you were in Craig Conroy's shoes, what would you do? Would you want to move him or would you want to keep him?
Well, what I've been reading, that Markstrom waived his no move to go to Jersey. Is that correct? Frank Cervelli, or is he lying?
I don't know. Here's my thoughts on this. Eric Francis pushed back a little bit on that. And he made a comment that he said, usually when a guy has a no move clause, the two general managers involved in a trade come up with a trade, agree that if he waives it, it's a go, and then they go to the player. They never had a trade in place. So why would you go to the player if a trade was never in place?
Yeah, I guess there's two ways to go about that. I could totally see Markstrom waving to go to New Jersey.
I could too. I
could definitely see that. Now, New Jersey doesn't have much cap, and Markstrom makes $6 million. So that is the hurdle that most likely stopped all those talks. I think that Conroy should trade Markstrom. I think you should maximize his value. He's not going to get any younger. His value is at an all-time high right now. He has like a 960 save percentage his last six starts.
What do you think you're going to get from?
You probably, the more you retain, the more you get back. That's for sure. If you retain $3 million, you'll get a first round pick back. You probably get a top prospect.
I wouldn't do that then. Because you have to retain for the next two more years. You have to retain every year.
Oh, not this year. It's this next last, isn't it? Next year's his last year.
No, it's not. He's got two more years.
After this year?
Yes.
You sure about that?
I might be wrong. I'm pulling up, but they would have to retain. Yep, they got two more years after this year. You're not going to retain for $3 million a year for 3 years. Why would you ever do that?
Well, it's prorated this year, so that wouldn't be that much.
But you have to retain three. There's no way. Why would you do that? I would, if I was going to do that, I'd say I want a roster player, two top prospects, a first and a second.
Yeah, well, that's and nobody's going to give
you that. No one's going to give you that. No.
Well, then nobody's going to make a trade with you because that is outrageous for a 35-year-old goaltender.
Who's the best goalie in the league this week? The last couple weeks. I'm not saying he's the best goalie in the league this year. I'm saying he's a top five goalie this year.
He's streaky. Let's just say that.
Hey, tell me a goalie that isn't.
Name a goalie. There's a lot of consistent goalies.
Who?
Well, I'm not saying every goalie plays great every game, but it's part of the every other year, Markstrom's been bad. 2 years ago, he had 10 shutouts, led the league in wins. Calgary won the division.
So you're supposed to give him away then?
Hold on. Last year, he was awful. This year, he's back to being good again.
So let me ask you this. The Calgary's in a retool, right?
Yeah.
So isn't the best thing for a retool?
Markstrom is not a part of their plans. I can promise you that.
Well, he probably is for the next 2 years.
Okay. Are the Flames going to be contenders the next 2 years? The answer is no.
No, but he's under contract, so who cares?
So sign him for futures, and so you can build your team when you open your contending window in 4 or 5 years down the road.
So we want to be the Buffalo Sabres, huh?
No, they got way more pieces in place than Buffalo. They got some good young kids.
Blake, all I'm saying is you're going to throw Dustin Wolf to the Wolves.
He's got to play. He's got to play and learn.
Yeah, so you do this. So next year, you offload Vladar. Whether it may be on waivers, it might be. So then you next year, you play Wolf 30 games, and you play Markstrom 50. And then the following year after that, you play Markstrom 30, and you play Wolf 50. You do exactly what Nashville did with Pekka Rinne and UC Saros, is you do exactly that.
Yeah, but Pekka Rinne's game tailed off pretty steep the last 2 years.
And Markstrom may too. But all I'm saying is, so
that's the gamble you take.
Okay, so you take the gamble.
You trade him while his value's high right now, or do you risk that?
Too valuable. You're not going to get what you're going to gain by having him.
New Jersey might get desperate, dude. I'm telling you.
What are they going to
go? They need a goalie so bad.
Yeah, but you know what? Here, look at the previous years. Goalies usually don't get you as good of a return as you think they're going to get.
Well, I think goalies get a better return in the summer than midseason, for sure.
For sure. For sure. I would agree. Well, you have more teams bidding then, right?
Right, right.
But I'm just sitting here looking at this, and I'm thinking, okay, everybody in Calgary is screaming for Wolf, and I'm not knocking Wolf. I think he's probably going to be okay. But what if he's not? What if he's not?
That is a legit concern to have as a fan, for sure.
I mean, you can wish and pray someone to the superstardom, but if he's not a superstar, then you're shit out of luck. Then you're the Buffalo Sabres. I'm sorry. I don't want to go down that road. Keeping Markstrom is a much, much more calculated, safer way to get Calgary back up in the standings.
Yeah, I do think, though, that if Calgary got an offer they couldn't refuse, they would trade him right now.
Sure, but what would that offer have to be? It'd have to be a lot.
Right.
I agree with that.
I'm just saying, like, if Calgary got offered first a roster player and a first and a second, I'd be like, okay, like, we have to do this.
Yeah, then they would, but I don't think anybody's given that, are they?
Probably not.
Probably not.
At least not right now.
No, I don't think anybody will. It's going to be interesting. I think there's a lot of talk there going on and not a lot going to happen.
Yeah.
Buyers and sellers. Now, there's some marginal teams right now because the standings are kind of a little bit all over the place. I'm going to name off a team, and I want you to tell me if they're a buyer or a seller. Tampa Bay Lightning.
They don't got money. Well, now, actually, I was going to say they got no cap, but they actually got $8.5 million in LTIR space. So I think they're a buyer.
Okay. Philadelphia.
Fringe buyers.
Wait and see. That's what I'm thinking, too. Detroit. Fringe
buyers. Detroit should be buyers.
Okay. They're hanging on to the final wild card. The New York Islanders.
Where are they at right now in the standings?
They are 3 points out of the final wild card spot.
I think they're going to just stand pat. I don't think they're going to be a buyer or a seller.
New Jersey Devils.
New Jersey should be buying.
They're two out of the playoffs right now.
They should be buying. That's why they're aggressive after Markstrom.
Washington.
What does Washington even have to trade? Anthony Mantha. Yeah, I could see them selling.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think it's time.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Pittsburgh should sell.
I think so too.
I think you should trade Gensel. Just kick some tires on Rust. I don't know. Crosby's up in 2 years, so they're in a tough spot.
St. Louis Blues.
I don't know, man. They're a weird team to watch. I don't think they're going to buy or they're going to sell.
You think they're just going to stay pat?
Yeah.
It's very unlike them, though. It's very unlike them. Nashville.
I think Nashville is going to be buyers.
They're two out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Oof, I don't think they're going to be buyers. Seattle.
Stand pat. I don't think
Seattle's too much. Seattle smart. They're selling.
Oh, I would trade Eberle. I would trade Eberle.
Minnesota Wild.
They should sell. I think Minnesota should sell. Because the thing about Minnesota is, man, there's going to be years that they're in cap hell, and you're not going to be able to do much. So now is a good time to trade Fleury. Maybe even this may sound insane. Kick some tires on Joel Eriksson Ek. You might get a haul for that guy right now. He's on a team.
I think you would.
He's on a team friendly deal at like 5.25 for another 5 years. Six foot five center.
I don't know, man.
I think teams would line up for a boatload to get for Eriksson Ek.
Yeah. But he's the guy you'd have to go looking for as soon as you traded him.
Yeah, but they're not going to be contending for a while. So it's like,
how do you know? It's Minnesota, man.
Such in cap hell though coming up, man. They got what, like 7.5? They got like what, 14 million dead money?
I know, but Blake, when you look at it, like Vancouver's going to be in cap hell, Toronto's going to be in cap hell. There's going to be a lot of teams in cap hell. Like seriously, there is a lot of teams in cap hell. Like I don't know. Like Minnesota always. Every time I say they're dead, they do something and it almost makes me mad because they figure out a way, man. They figure out a way.
Dead cap. So they had 14.7 this year, 14.7 next year, and then that's it. And then it's 1.6 from there on out. So
yeah,
they honestly just got to get through one more year of
exactly. cap. So I mean, I don't think
I thought it was worse than that. I thought it was worse than that. Yeah.
Arizona, buy or sell. Oh. Four sale signs up.
I can't believe we're saying this. Should that off the ice, they should sell. On the ice, they might buy.
They are 8 points out of a wild card spot.
Oh, are they? They slip back that much, eh?
They won two of their last ten.
They're going to sell.
There's a for sale sign for players.
All right. They're selling. They're selling right to Houston. That's where they're going.
Okay, so I got a question for you. That segues right into our next section. More drop this week on Arizona's situation. Now, they're supposedly putting up a bid for land, right? But even if they win the bid, which they're saying they will, which who knows, right? Promises and farts. I mean, then the city would have to agree to build, or that the city would have to agree to zone it for an arena, which there's no guarantee that happens. There's just so many things here that this just has to change. They need to relocate. They just need to relocate. Is this Quebec City's chance? Is Quebec City the only city ready for them?
They definitely got the facility.
That's what I'm saying. They're the only facility ready team.
Houston has a facility.
Who's going to own it?
Yes, they do. Houston Rockets. They have a facility. What are you talking about? They don't have one.
Who is going to own the team? Because the Houston Rockets owner has cooled way off on that.
Right. Okay. That's fair. But I'm thinking of places that have facilities.
Here's my thought. You have an ownership group ready in Quebec and waiting.
Send them to Grand Forks.
I'm serious. Like you have an ownership group ready and waiting in Quebec City.
Yeah.
Is that the easiest move?
That might wall. Do you have to pay a relocation fee?
No, but the league would maybe come up with something here.
I think if they move to Quebec City, they honestly might just waive it.
Well, what no. Well, there is no relocation fee. But what I could see happening is the league buying the Coyotes.
Yeah, and then selling them
to the Quebec organization at a inflated rate so that the other owners get their take.
So the owners get the money they lost from the cost share revenue, that bunch of bullshit.
Yes, that's what I could see happening. That's what I could see happening.
Yeah, well, stay tuned. You know, you damn well know if Arizona leaves, they will come back.
Oh, yeah.
Because Gary Bettman loves that market for some odd reason.
How long is Gary Bettman going to be doing this? He's not the youngest guy anymore.
Till he dies.
But you know what? And Gary Bettman's done a really good job. He has grown.
I don't get why he gets booed. It's obviously because of the lockouts and stuff, but he's made turned into a, so much money.
It's turned into a joke, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mikhail Sergachev goes down after like a period of playing after coming back from injury with a bad, bad one. Looks like he is.
Did we not? I thought we talked about this last week.
No, it happened right after we got done recording, but I just felt so bad for the guy. I feel so bad for the guy.
Yeah, it's his post too on Instagram was a tough read. That was a tough read. Yeah, I feel bad. I knew right away it was both legs broken too. Like you can just your leg is just not supposed to bend that way.
No. Let's talk a little bit about, since we're talking defensemen, let's talk about defensive scoring. Did you in any shades of your imagination think you'd see Mackenzie Weegar at the top of the scoring list amongst defensemen?
That's not surprising.
You don't think
he's
so?
He's got a good shot. He's got a good shot. He does a good job at getting point shots through. Credit to Calgary standing in front, screening the goalies, because that's what a lot of his goals are. They ain't all the end-to-end rushes, short side on Varlamov, weak sauce like that one was. But no, he's been really good. He's been a really good player for a long time. Yeah, it really doesn't surprise me at all.
I mean, I always thought of him as a quality defenseman. I've never really known him for putting up points and scoring. Does it surprise me he's atop the lead? Yeah. But another reason why I wanted to bring this up is we got slammed down our throats for, was it last year? Yeah, it was last year. How wonderful and amazing Erik Karlsson was.
Power play merchant.
What's going on now?
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's like, holy cow. Like, how does a guy fall off the face of the earth? You know, that much.
Yeah. Well, he's also an environment where there was absolutely zero pressure to play hockey.
You're right. Yep. You're
right. Then he goes to Pittsburgh where Crosby's on the back legs, a 30, and you got Gino and you got Letang, and Pittsburgh's trying to squeak out one more cup out of that core. And all of a sudden you're gripping your stick a little tighter and you're playing with a lot more pressure than you had on a last place team in San Jose. And that's what you get sometimes.
That's right. All right, let's fire on over. It's time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
All right, time for three questions. Blake asked me last week. It's my turn this week to fire three of them at him, and let's start off with another hot topic this week. Do you think Phil Kessel will be signed by the Canucks? There's been lots of speculations, and now he's in Abbotsford. And do you think he will even have an impact on this team?
I think it doesn't. I think it doesn't cost you anything to bring him in. I mean, the guy is a winner. He's played in Tocchet's system. He knows what it takes to produce in the playoffs. And if the guy's in shape, the Canucks would be crazy not to sign him.
Let me ask you a question. I had to say, Blake, you got to put $1,000 down on Phil Kessel being in shape.
I'm not taking that bet. I'm not taking the bet, but
okay.
Phil will like that there is a Costco for hot dogs right across the street from the Canucks facility.
I'm just telling you right now, like
he actually was buzzing around today in the drills on Abbotsford. I was looking at some drills. He's buzzing around out there.
See him.
Do I think the Canucks will sign him? I do think they will sign him because
I love the Canucks roster, right? So who does he push out of the lineup? I think it's ridiculous. Who's he taking out of this lineup?
Sam Lafferty has been scratched on and off. Neil Zaman. I mean, there's a couple guys that you could upgrade with. And You would you rather have pause. Would you rather have Phil Kessel with JT Miller and Brock Besser or Phil DiGiuseppe? It shouldn't take you that long to answer that question, Brad. I'm a little concerned. No,
I'm looking at the depth chart though. Isn't Suter been playing with JT Miller?
He has, but
okay. Well, I'd rather have Suter with Miller and Besser. So who do you have as centers now? Because Pettersson, Miller, Bluger, and Lafferty are listed as your centers.
Well, no. Lindholm's in the middle now. Lindholm has been in the middle.
Okay, so yeah. You got Pettersson, Lindholm, Miller, and who is your fourth center?
Pettersson's on the wing. So right now the center is Lindholm, Miller, Bluger, and Neil Zeman.
Okay.
So I don't think it doesn't hurt anything to just kick around.
Let me ask this question differently. Your top six are Hoglander, Pettersson, Lindholm, Besser, Miller, and Suter. Which one of those guys does he take? Because he probably isn't going to be a bottom six guy.
Probably Pia Suter. Pia Suter is a good player. He's a great player. But he's a great bottom six, I'm saying. He's a great bottom six. I don't think he's got enough skill to play in the top six. And how often Phil Kessel's been. The guy knows how to score goals, and he knows how to score goals in big moments. The guy had 15 goals last year. Like, this guy,
why was he a scratch in the playoffs?
I don't know, man. I can't tell you that. But I'm telling you, there's familiarity with Tocchet, and if Tocchet wants this guy, the Canucks are going to sign him.
Yeah,
he got the most out of Phil Kessel. He did.
We'll see.
He coached him in Arizona too.
I worry a little bit though about screwing with this roster with a marginal guy like him. Like, if you guys went out and got truly traded.
This guy is a borderline Hall of Fame player.
He's been sitting in the Cabo drinking martinis for the last 6 months.
I'm just saying, if he comes in and you ought to think, if Phil Kessel signs, he's going to be a pretty motivated guy to prove that he could still play, right? No?
Have you ever seen Phil Kessel motivated?
I don't think I've
ever used those two words in the same sentence.
Listen, man, the guy's still a good player.
You got to agree with me on that, though, right?
Sure. The guy had almost 40 points last year with Vegas.
Blake, it's not a lot of risk, but...
There's not... What do you mean there's not a lot of risk? There's no risk to this. Well, there's zero. It's a free player. Vet minimum.
You don't have a lot of... I know, but you don't have a lot of cap space, so...
I think they could send somebody down and afford Phil for $765.
I know, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be... At least it's going to be entertaining, right? Question number two. Jonathan Quick has been playing better than Igor Shesterkin, but obviously Shesterkin has had a couple good games now since the All-Star break.
He just shut out your Calgary Flames.
Yep. Oh, he's been good, but prior to that, Jonathan Quick was obviously the better of the two, right?
You can say that Jonathan Quick has turned the clock back about 10 years. Yes, you can say that.
Yeah, he has. My question is, and this is something that's puzzling to me, is that a lot of the media fans and New York fans are treating this like a bad thing. When I look at it as, heck yeah, this is why we got him, right? To hold the fort when our leader and our number one is struggling a bit. Is Shesterkin going to struggle for a long time? I guess my question is, if the playoffs started tomorrow, who do you start?
Ooh, you'd be crazy not to start Quick.
See, what I would do is I would start Shesterkin.
By short leash.
Short, right? And you have nothing to lose by doing that, right? Because you have the guy with confidence ready to come in.
Well, here's the thing about this, too.
Whereas if you do it and you start Quick, you know, then your guy that's waiting in the wing doesn't have confidence.
Right. Now, that's fair. But what I'm saying is the last 2 years, Igor Shesterkin's kind of got ran into the ground because there's been no really backup to push him, right? And now, come playoff time, this guy's going to have this guy's going to have 50 games on his plate instead of 60, 65, and now you're going to be more fresh for the playoffs. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same example when you talk about a guy like Thatcher Demko, who's been injured the last 2 years, and finally bringing a guy like Casey DeSmith, who's capable of playing 30 games, and all of a sudden you get to the playoffs, and Demko's only got 50 games under his belt, and he's a little more rested. Right, so like, I think the backup goalie dude is the most important position on a roster. Like, it is the most important and is the most overlooked, underrated aspect of a team.
Yep,
because if you don't have a goaltender that you have faith in and can trust, you're just gonna have to run your starter into the ground. It's a different game, man. Goalies can't play 75 games like Brodeur, Luongo, or Patrick Waugh did back in the day. They just can't.
Yeah.
So,
all right. This might be the longest three questions we've ever had here. Okay. Question number three. The Kings handled the Oilers pretty convincingly and an entertaining game on Saturday night. They followed it up with a 7-0 loss to, was it Buffalo last night?
Yeah.
The struggle continues. They fired their coach. What's next for the Los Angeles Kings?
Well, you see who's their starter now, right?
Dave Riddick,
and he's been putting up good numbers. He's 6-1-3, the under two goals against and a 9.35 save.
Did you see his numbers last night?
Yeah, he wasn't good last night, for sure.
Five goals on 17 shots.
They played three games out of the break. And Cam Talbot hadn't started any of them. Is that a little puzzling?
Came in last night.
Yeah, I know he came in. I'm saying he didn't. He hasn't started. They played three games out of the break, and David Riddick has started all of them.
I'm going to tell you something. I watched David Riddick for a lot of years in Calgary, and I always liked David Riddick. But if this team is going to depend on David Riddick,
they're not going to make the playoffs if that's the case.
No. All right. No. Let's buzz on over into listener question right away. What is your dream Stanley Cup matchup this season? What is your dream Stanley Cup matchup?
Like what I want to see.
Yep. What Stanley Cup final do you want?
Give me Oilers and Boston Bruins.
That's your okay.
Or Canucks versus Rangers.
Mine was Canucks Rangers. I want to watch that.
Canucks Rangers would be off the charts good.
I want to watch
it. And we can get some redemption from 1994, 4 years before I was born. Okay.
I don't think any of that will happen, but
very okay, buddy.
We'll pretend for Blake's sake that it happens. Well, what will this week bring in the National Hockey League? Football is done. Baseball's a few weeks away still. Basketball sucks. So I guess the sports world can focus on hockey this week, Blake. They can. All right, hockey fans, enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next week, recording Monday night, Tuesday drop on the show. Hockey Talk every week, The Debate Hockey Podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of The Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.